do you credit your success to? Real Life starts now.
Welcome to Real Life with evangelists Han and Kathleen Lay, where people with real problems find answers in a real God.
Welcome to Real Life. I'm your host, Kathleen Lay, and joining me is my husband, evangelist Don Lay.
Later in the show, you'll hear from Jim Woodford, who credited much of his success to himself until something happened.
Yeah, you know, for me growing up, I had certain talents and things that I could do, and I was really good at making things happen. If I didn't know how to build something, I'd find a way. It was all about survival, and I was really good at a lot of things. And people would say, wow, you're pretty much good at everything you put your hands to.
Wow. How did that make you feel?
Well, I loved it. I loved feeling like, wow, I'm just good at everything. Anything I touch turns to gold, kind of a feeling.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think people love to gloat in their successes. Mm-hmm. I remember myself before I believed in God, I really had this self-made man image theology floating in my brain. Mm-hmm. I had this idea that if I'm going to be great, I've got to make myself great. Mm-hmm. I've got to develop myself. I got to make sure that I am good. And if anything good comes, ultimately the credit belongs to me and my hard work and what I've done. And that was really my voice growing up as a younger man. Now, you know what's really funny though, is when I really boasted in all my successes, I always failed. It's so weird. I was always kind of bragging, but I always failed. But then when I came to know Christ, I learned something amazing. I learned to give God the glory. And when I gave God the glory, suddenly success came naturally. And I have to say, it wasn't me this time. It was Him when I yielded to Him.
And when you say give God the glory, like someone giving you a compliment or...
Well, you know, like remember that
success
time?
Success. Yeah, that time, that one time.
Yeah, you know, the time where you were... When you and I first met, and you were telling me, you were giving me a compliment or something, and I said, and it irritated you. Why don't you tell that story?
Well, I remember when I first met you, and I was like, wow, you're so smart. You're so good at this or that or whatever it was, because, you know, I was complimenting you.
And we were courting, you know, so we were getting to know each other.
Yeah, and I thought it was great. And I was just like, wow, I just want to compliment him. He's doing such great things. And then I remember you said, well, glory be to God. And you would never say, oh, thank you. And I would get so irritated and say, yes, of course, glory be to God, but just take the compliment and say thank you. And I didn't get it. You know, I didn't understand it, because when someone thanked me or said something to me, I was like, yes, I am good at this. And it would, I didn't realize I was walking in this pride, not realizing that anything good I have is from above. Anything that I did well was from God. And that's what you were showing me in that time.
I think it's good to realize that every breath that we have, every thought we can think, it is because we're alive. Mm-hmm. And because it's not that we develop our own brain cells. You can't develop your own brain cells.
Right.
You were given it. Mm-hmm. You can't develop, you know, yes, you have developed skills, but ultimately God gave you those skills.
Yeah.
The Bible says something interesting. It says in Jeremiah 17, verses 5, it says, thus says the Lord, cursed is a man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. And that really described me before. Before, I was a man who didn't want anything to do with God.
Yeah.
And I did trust in man. I trusted in myself or other people, the successes of myself or other people.
Mm-hmm.
And I did experience that cursing because I couldn't quite ever get to it. It was almost like I was running after a carrot that kept moving.
Mm-hmm.
But when I surrendered to the Lord, suddenly everything just snapped into place. When you let God do the work, true success, you'll experience.
And you know, as I learned about giving my heart to the Lord and just realizing anything good I have is from Him, there's a Bible verse also in James 1:16 through 17 that says, do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes from the Father of lights. And so God is the one who gives us the gifts. So
that's
when
true.
We get complimented or we're working hard, glory be to God that we have the strength to do it or that we have those ability, because He's the one who gives it to us. Let's hear from Jim Woodford after the break.
Real Life is made possible this week by Young Living Essential Oils and our Awakening Colorado monthly giving partners. Young Living is the leader in 100% pure essential oils, providing natural plant-based ways to improve your health while replacing many chemical-laden products in your home. People have been using essential oils for thousands of years, even in the Bible. To order, just visit wearingsharingcaring.com today, and for a limited time, receive a free gift to help you get started. That's Young Living Essential Oils at wearingsharingcaring.com.
We're excited to announce our new book, Evidence, that will inspire you with real stories of people who encountered God. In a world where there are so many bad things happening, some wonder, is there a God? If there is a God, why does he allow bad things to happen? These people either didn't believe in God or turned from him and looked for help in everything but God until they had an encounter of their own that changed their lives. Order your copy of Evidence today at www.awakeningthenations.com. Welcome back to Real Life. I'm your host, Kathleen Lay, and joining me is my husband, Evangelist Don Lay.
Hello, everyone.
And joining us is Jim Woodford. He had a disease, a very rare disease, that took his life. He was otherwise healthy up until that point, and in 2014, he experienced what life was after death and came back to tell it. So let's find out more with Jim. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Kathleen, and thank you for the opportunity to tell of my experience.
Yes. So tell me about how life was up until this point that you got this rare disease, and tell us what you ended up getting.
Well, I guess I was living the proverbial American-Canadian dream. I had a successful career as an airline captain, and I had had a number of businesses that I had started, and they were extremely successful. And I enjoyed all the trappings that came with that, including a British car collection, aircraft, yachts.
Wow.
You know, just the proverbial success story. But, you know, I look back and I remember now that I would wake up in the middle of the night and I would have this yearning inside of me. And I would stupidly think, well, I must need a nicer car or a faster plane or a new Arabian horse.
Wow.
And I would go out the next day and get those things. And then a week later, that yearning would come back. And I think if many of us are honest with ourselves, many of us have that same feeling. We say to ourselves in the dark of the night, is this all there is? Surely there must be more.
Yeah.
And now I know there is.
Now, you at that time had no desire really for God, even believe there's a God. You were a pilot. You'd see the beautiful earth, the stars. You grew up in a home where there was religion, there was Catholicism, but you didn't really have a relationship with God. Can you tell me about that?
Sure. I grew up in northeastern Canada. My dad died when I was 2 years old, but my mom, my brother, and I lived with my grandparents. I had a wonderful childhood. I mean, my dad, I never knew him, but there was nothing traumatic. I was in a loved home. They were Irish Catholic. You know, I went to Mass and that sort of thing, but never really had a deep desire or opportunity, I guess, to know God deeper, and just attributed everything to my own grit and ability to be successful.
Now, something happened to your healthy body. Tell me about that.
Well, it was 2009 that I contracted Guillain-Barré. You know, I think we've all, at one time or another, have awakened having slept on an arm or in an odd position, and you have that tingling sensation in your arm or in your leg.
Yes.
Well,
yeah.
I woke up on a morning, and ironically, it was a Sunday morning at our cottage, and for some reason, both my arms and feet felt as though they were numb and tingling. And I remember thinking at the time, what possible position did I sleep in last night? And yet, as the day wore on, I got more and more ill. And finally, on Monday, I dragged myself to the doctor. And after he examined me, he said, well, I think you have the flu, Jim. Just go home and sleep it off. Well, I went home and things got worse. And so I had about four visits till finally I collapsed one day. And they finally said, look, we're admitting you to the hospital. And little did I know, Kathleen, that I was coming down with this Guillain-Barré, which, by the way, if it is not tended to correctly in the first 7 days, it becomes a full-blown case.
Wow.
The treatment that they give people is plasmapheresis and immunoglobulin therapy. But there's really very little known about the disease, and my doctor had never seen it, and so he didn't recognize the diagnosis. So it was only after the disease had really gripped me and I was laying in the hospital that I was diagnosed with Guillain-Barré by a neurologist.
Wow. So what was happening to you as you were falling apart? What was happening to your body?
Well, it became full-blown Guillain-Barré. And by the way, that paralysis works its way up your legs. and inboard from your fingertips, and eventually it can seize your lungs. But you know, I actually got through that, Kathleen. I got through that. I was a long time recovering. I was unable to walk. I had to teach myself to walk. I went through months and months of physiotherapy, but I was left with incredible pain. And although I learned to walk again, the pain was insidious. And because of the disease that I had, I could no longer pass the medical to stay being a pilot. And the day they took my license, it was as though someone cut my heart out with a spoon. That's how I felt.
Wow. So as you're going through this, did you feel like, wow, I'm pretty much out of control. This one, I'm not able to conquer. I can't get myself out of this.
Well, actually, you just, chapter two of my book, the title is Out of Control. And indeed, you're right. I'm laying there in the hospital bed. I'd gone from a guy that jumped horses, water skied, downhill skied, flew fast aircraft, drove fast cars, to someone that couldn't even care for himself. And you would have thought at that point, I would have looked up at the ceiling and said, God, I've never asked for anything. I don't know if you're there, but could you help me? Not me. I was so full of arrogance, so full of my own belief that this was just one more thing to be conquered, that I never did cry out for help at that point.
Wow.
It seems like matters went worse because in 2014, for 11 hours, you went without a brain sign. And we're going to have you on our next show to talk about exactly what happened during those 11 hours when you were clinically dead during that time. So thank you so much, Jim, for being with us, and we'll have you on our next show.
Thank you, Kathleen.
Well, Father God, we just thank you so much for this show. And I think that, you know, this is so relatable because oftentimes guys get to a point where they don't ask for help, not even from other people, but especially maybe not even from God. And there's someone listening right now. Maybe you're saying, you know, I'm kind of like that. I always find a way to get through things. I always find a way, you know, to get out of these jams or out of these things or that. But in truth, what happens when you can't get yourself out of the jam? Who do you rely on? Who do you turn to? So before that time comes, because it will come one day, Jesus, we take a moment just to say, wow, we want you in our lives now. We need you now, Lord Jesus. So we just invite you into our lives. For whoever's listening, there's someone listening right now who has never done this and wants to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior and say, I want to do this now. I want to know him now. So Jesus, we receive you now. We believe in you. We love you. In Jesus' mighty name.
Call out to him, even if you are dealing with what he's talking about, whether it's pride or not, just call out to Jesus. God bless you all. You're listening to Real Life.